Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I realize when I say those words that they sound different to different people's ears, depending on your experience. For some, those words are filled with joy and happiness. And for some, there's pain, maybe even bitterness. This morning, we want to honor mothers. But in doing that, by no means do we want to dishonor those who aren't mothers. So just up front, I want to say a few things. To those who have recently given birth to a child, we celebrate with you. And to those who have recently lost a child, your church mourns with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones and you wear food stains on your clothing as badges of honor, we appreciate you. To those of you who walk the hard path of infertility with tears and disappointment, we walk with you. To those who are mothers, not of children, but of the rest of the congregation, as you disciple godly, spiritual women in the faith, thank you. To those who have lost their mothers in the last year, we grieve with you. To those who have even been mistreated by your own mother, we acknowledge your experience. To those who step-parent, we want to walk that complicated path with you. To those who envision lavishing love on little grandchildren, and yet it is not to be, we grieve with you. For those whose empty nest will be even more empty in the coming year, we mourn and we rejoice with you. And to those who are pregnant with new life, whether it's expected or not, we anticipate with you. This morning, we want to honor mothers. We want to give honor where it is due. We want to commend that which is commendable. We want to thank God for mothers. We even want to praise mothers. Okay, wait a minute. That sounds odd. Praise mothers? Like, is that okay? Are we allowed to give praise to anyone other than God? I mean, we're gathered here to worship Jesus, right? Like, the reason we're in this place and Christians around the world gather is to give praise and worship and honor to God the Father, to God the Son, to God the Holy Spirit. So is it wrong to honor mothers? Is it wrong to give them praise? Are we somehow taking something from God when we praise mom? Well, admittedly, the answer is a little complicated. We can do this wrong. We can say words that flatter. We can say words that fuel idolatrous pride, and to do so is despicable. It is condemned by God. We must never speak words that flatter. Psalm 12:3 says this, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips." Wow, so if you speak words of flattery, you're just trying to say things that people want to hear, your lips should be cut off. That's a picture. Or here's Proverbs 26:28. A flattering mouth works ruin. We must be very careful not to flatter, not to say more than is needed. Now, on the other hand, there is a way that we can give praise and honor and affirm and applaud people, and at the same time, glorify God. There's a way to do this rightly. I'm reminded of Paul. Repeatedly in his letters, you'll read phrases like this, "I thank God for you." See, he's honoring the person, but in so doing, the praise kind of goes through the person and up to God. I thank God for you. God is glorified when we affirm in others the work that he is doing in them and has done. So here's some examples. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 11, he violates nothing of the honor of God by commending the faith of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel, the prophets, the martyrs. Verse 39 tells us, they all were commended through their faith. They were commended Yet their commendation steals nothing from the glory of God, because they're commended for their faith in God, their faith that is from God. Or think of Corinth. Wow, talk about a troubled church. Paul wrote to them a letter, and he had a lot to address. They had doctrine that was all messed up. They had divisions. They had immorality. They had lawsuits between one another. They even, some of them were opposing Paul himself. And he starts his letter to them with these lines. I give thanks to my God always for you. Wow. He's always thanking God for them. Why? Well, he continues. Because of the grace of God that was given you in Jesus Christ. So again, he sees God at work in them, and he's thankful for it. He's pointing it out. Any praiseworthy attributes that we see in one another has been given to us by God. That's a gift. And we actually rob God of praise that he is due if we don't point out his reflection in those he has knit together in his image. We should point these things out to his glory. So this morning, I want to draw our attention to some women who are worthy of praise. So if you have your Bibles, again, open to Proverbs 31. And we're going to look at some women who are worthy of praise. We're really just going to, I'm not going to read it all. We're just going to look at some highlights here and get a small picture. So I'll start at verse 10, Proverbs 31, verse 10. It says this, an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. A good wife is a treasure. An excellent wife is more precious than jewels. And what we see in the rest of this passage is a picture of biblical womanhood. We see a description of what a godly, wise woman looks like. This is the type of woman that a godly man wants to marry. So, just a couple highlights. Skip all the way down to verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. So here we're speaking of her appearance, and what stands out the most about her appearance is not the way she looks necessarily. It's not her hair. It's not the clothes that she's wearing. It's not her shoes. No, when you see her, you see her character. What stands out to the most is her strength and her dignity. The person of her heart shines through, and it is beautiful. Or look down to verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom and teaches, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She speaks wisdom that is attractive. Or on to verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. He praises her because she is worthy of praise. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. She is to be praised. God is telling us that we should praise women who fear the Lord. So what is it that's so praiseworthy about her? It's that she fears the Lord. She has a reverence for God. She respects God. She takes God serious, and it's good. And when we praise the fear of the Lord in her, we are glorifying God. Now, we're not saying that she's so amazing all on her own, independent of God. No, we're saying we see the work of God in you, and it's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Praise God. You know, there's a connection between the fear of the Lord and wisdom. Again and again, we see this these things linked together. Here's Proverbs 9:10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So women, whether you're married or not, whether you're a mother or not, if you have enough wisdom to fear the Lord, I commend you. I give you praise. I thank God that he has given you the fear of the Lord. It is praiseworthy. A woman who fears the Lord is wise, and she is to be praised. But this morning, I want to focus our attention even more specifically onto mothers. Motherhood is praiseworthy. We don't always think about it. Moms are just doing what moms are doing. But motherhood is praiseworthy. It is a good work. But I know that sometimes moms have doubts themselves about what they're doing. See, God has planted in moms a desire to do something great, something bold, something wonderful, something beautiful, something with purpose. God has given them passions and gifts and a desire to change the world. But they're right here changing a diaper. They're the ref for another sibling squabble. They're the cook or the maid, the teacher. The list goes on and on and on. And there's this temptation. I wonder, have you ever asked inside, is this really it? Is this what I should be doing with my life? Is this worth the effort? Could I be doing something more important? I know moms can live through days of drudgery where it seems like your gifts and your talents and your skills are all set aside so that you can mop up a gallon of milk spilt on the floor. And in those moments, it's very tempting to just say, does this even matter? Why am I doing this? I could be doing something more important. Sisters, this morning, I want to show you something in the scripture that is astounding, that's encouraging. So take your Bible, slip all the way over to the New Testament. We're going to go to the letter of 2 Timothy for the rest of our time. 2 Timothy. And what we're going to see here in 2 Timothy are two mothers who fear God and pour out wisdom. We're going to see what it looks like to be a wise, God-fearing mother. So 2 Timothy, the letter of 2 Timothy is written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, who was his sidekick, his assistant, his you know, the guy he was mentoring, discipling up. And in this letter, he is sending encouragement, he's giving instructions, but there's a few verses in here that are kind of easy to read past and not pay much attention to, and this morning we're going to pay attention to them. So look with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 says this: I am reminded of your sincere faith. So again, it's Paul is reminded of Timothy's faith. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. So he says he sees his faith, he's reminded of his faith, and he points out that the same faith that Timothy has was first in grandma and in mom. God deemed it necessary enough to write into Holy Scripture about the role of Timothy's grandmother and mother, the role that they played in his spiritual development. That's noteworthy. God wanted this to be known. He pointed it out. And do you see what is actually being praised in this text? Something is being held up. Something is being commended here. It's the faithful, consistent, nurturing, shepherding, instructing that passed on the faith to the next generation. It's a big deal. Moms, you're not just making dinner and cleaning up messes. No, you are showing a little person how to live a life of trust in God. You were modeling for them a dependence on God. You were passing on the faith, and what you do each day matters greatly. There's more in this letter. Flip a page over. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3 verses 14 through 17. I know you've been flipping a lot. This is where we'll stay. So we'll spend the rest of our time here this morning. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. Let me read the passage. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, complete, equipped for every good work. So think with me for a moment about what this passage is teaching. This passage is about the doctrine of scripture. It's one of the most important, clear, and concise statements in the scripture about the Bible. In fact, I think you could argue that the most important verse in the Bible about the Bible is right here, verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. What this is saying is that the Bible that we hold in our hand, everything in here came from God. These are his words spoken out of his mouth. So at the beginning of the service, when we hold the scripture high, we're saying far above the word of any man or any woman is the word of God. And because the source is God, it is our authority. The word of God is clear. The word of God is necessary. We need this. And because it comes from God who never lies, the word of God is trustworthy. It's not filled with mistakes. It's the very word of God. So you might be asking it yourself, did we just change gears? Is he preaching a different sermon? I thought we were talking about mom. Well, yes, in the midst of this deeply theological passage, did you see what was in there? There was the praise of mom. Look back with me. We'll walk through it slowly. Verse 14. But as for you, again, Paul's talking to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned. Continue. Continue. That's the command. That's what he's being told to do. It's the imperative of the whole statement. Paul is saying, Timothy, stick with it. Hold on. Don't give up. Stick with the scripture. Stick with the faith. If I were to try to sum up this whole passage, I think I'd just say, stick with the scriptures. That is the point of this passage. Timothy, don't give up on the Bible. No, hold on tight to it. You have been rooted, you've been grounded, you've been established in the faith. Don't turn your back. Keep going with and keep growing in the scriptures. But in this passage, it says stick with the scriptures. One of the reasons to continue in the faith is the people who taught Timothy the scriptures. Again, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Clearly, both his mama and his grandmama had made the scripture just a part of normal life. They had acquainted him. They had made him familiar with the scripture from a young age. So not every person has the same experience. Not everyone has a godly Christian upbringing. But all of us have a person that God used to tell us about him. Think with me in your mind for a moment about the person that you can think of who first taught you the Bible. For many of us, that person is one of our parents. And that's a good thing. It seems by God's design that the most normal way for Christian commitment to spread is in the family. It doesn't always work that way, and we praise God for all the ways that God uses, but my parents, they taught me the scripture, and I'm thankful for it. Paul is urging Timothy to stick with the scriptures because he learned about it from his Grammy and his mama. You know, there's more reasons that Paul's going to give here, and we'll look at them in just a moment. But it matters. He's pointing out that his family, who loves him and wants the best for him, poured their energy into teaching him the Bible. So last spring, right about this time of year, I got the opportunity to go to a conference. I got to go with several of the pastors from our church and 8,000 others who came from around the country and other countries. They all came to Louisville, Kentucky. We were at the Yum Center, and we were hearing some great preaching. It was a good time. There were some panel discussions. One of the discussions, John Piper, who is a well-known pastor, prolific author. He's got his PhD in theology. I mean, he studied at the highest levels. They asked him, when did you come to trust the Bible? And quickly, he responded in a way that was pretty surprising. He said, because my mama told me so. And I mean, the room just filled with laughter. And he was not making a joke. And so as we kind of stop laughing and start thinking about that, like, well, is that a good reason? Like, why do you trust the Bible? Yes, that is a good reason. His mother had a profound effect on him. Day after day after day, in the way she lived and the words she spoke, she had shown the Bible to be meaningful. She'd shown it to be convincing and true. John Piper was acquainted with the scriptures from a little age. That was the same experience of Timothy, and it's been the experience of many. And we have moms and dads to thank for it. Paul gives some other reasons to stick with the scripture, so let's look at them. In verse 15, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, and then he describes the writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So the second reason he gives is scripture's ability. The word of God can save. God uses his word to save. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to hear the scripture. Now, we love the internet, right? You can get on Google and you can figure out anything. So I have young children and they're always asking me questions that I have no answer to. I don't know. Let's go get on the computer and we'll figure it out, right? So often we're going and finding information. They want to look at pictures of this or that or all these things to find. But there's something that the internet, with all of its terabytes of information, that it can't give you. Wisdom. The purpose of the Bible is not to make you smart or to make you rich or to take away all your problems. No, the aim of Scripture is that you might be wise enough to repent, to put your trust in Jesus and be saved. So the big story of the Bible starts with God who created everything, us as well, and he gives his creation a standard to live by. He's given us rules. This is how we are to live. And all of mankind has fallen miserably short of the standard. We have broken every rule. And because of our cosmic treason against him, we deserve the death penalty. Our sin deserves the anger and wrath of God. Quite literally, the fires of hell is what we deserve. But because of God's great mercy and love, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, become a man and live among us. And he was different. He was perfect. He never, ever messed up. He kept all the rules. And after his perfect life of righteousness, he chose to lay down his life for sinners like you and like me. And then after 3 days, he was raised, demonstrating that he had taken the full penalty. He had taken all the wrath so that sinners like you and me could repent, could trust in him and be given the life that he deserves. He said, we'll make a trade. I'll take your sin and the penalty, and you can have my righteousness and the life that I deserve. That is good news. That is the wisdom that Scripture gives us. Scripture makes us wise for salvation. There may be some here this morning, and you have yet to repent. You've yet to turn away from your sin and trust in Jesus. I pray that God would make you wise unto salvation. Stay in the Word of God. He works wonders through it. So the ability of Scripture, that's a pretty incredible reason to stick with the Scripture. Paul's got another reason in verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Everything in the Bible comes from God's mouth. It's the source, and this source is incredible. So quite literally, we can say, you know, if you want to hear a word from the Lord, dust off your Bible, open it up, and read it. This is the word of God. God speaks to us today, right here. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. This is valuable. We need to be in the word of God. The source of Scripture is an incredible reason to stick with the Scripture. He's got yet one more. We'll keep reading in verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for, then here comes this list, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the fourth reason he gives is the practical use. It says the scripture is really useful. The scripture trains and corrects. It tells us how to live a life as God intends. All of those are very significant reasons to stick with the scripture. But God thought it important enough to point out that one of the reasons we should stick with the scripture is because mama said to. That's on the list. Moms, you've been created and gifted and trained specifically for your children today. You are their mother, and it's an incredible responsibility. What we're seeing here is what it looks like for a mom to fear God and to share wisdom. It looks like teaching the breathed out word of God, that it might make children and grandchildren wise for salvation, that they might be given doctrine and correction and training, that they might learn how to live a life that pleases God. The primary way that mothers fear God and display wisdom is in the daily diligence of teaching your children the scripture. Let me say that again. The primary way mothers fear God and display wisdom is in the daily diligence of teaching your children the Bible. Mothers, you are the keepers of your homes. And while you may long for something noble that people will applaud on Facebook, the battle is raging right in your family room. You're not just a soccer mom or a homeschooling mom or a working mom. No, you've been entrusted with souls. What you do truly matters. Along with your husband, you are the primary influencers upon your children. Parents shape their kids. What an incredible responsibility. What an incredible joy. You are teaching them every day because they're watching you. And they're always watching you, it seems, right? All the time. You are teaching them, you're training them, you're discipling them with your actions and with your words every day. The way you react when things don't go the way you want, it teaches them. The words that flow from your mouth instruct them. The patience that you show models for them. The service that you gladly give, it shows them how they ought to live. The Bible that you read and trust and recite is shown to be meaningful and trustworthy by how often you use it. Mothers, you've been given gifts and talents and passions and time so that you can train your children to fear the Lord. Your task, it's noble. What you're doing each day, it is significant. It really matters. It's valuable. When you understand that your children have a desperate need for Jesus, then you realize that there's nothing more important than the job you have to do right here in your house, teaching them about the Savior. So let's close with a few kind of practical ways that you can give your children the gift of the Word of God. How can you teach more Bible more often in the crazy, hectic world of mothering? And life gets busy. So, my wife mothers small children in our house. I see this craziness. And so I started thinking, what are some ways you can do this? First of all, you can view, uphold, and expect dad to be the primary teacher of the Bible in your home. The Word of God actually lays this responsibility at the feet of fathers. And that's a whole other sermon. We won't go into it right now. But moms, you can encourage your husbands. You can respect your husbands. You can remind them, hey, let's take some time in the Word. Lead us, husband. We need reminders. Okay, but what about when dad's not there? Dad's off at work. If you're going to be with your kids, here's some more ideas. You can replace activities with reading the Bible. So we've all got busy schedules, but the truth is, sometimes our priorities aren't quite what they should be. Can you look at your schedule and find something somewhere that you don't have to do, that you can just eliminate and replace that activity with, we're going to sit down, I'm just going to read the Bible to my kids. I bet you can find a way to fit it in somewhere. The truth is, we need to reprioritize. We need to put reading the Word of God in there, and then we'll see where everything else goes. Another thing you can do is you can help your children memorize Scripture. So just practically, like in our house, we have this little metal tin, this little box, and it's filled with 3x5 cards, and we've written Scripture on there. And often, in between activities, Leslie will say, all right, it's time for verses. And now we're going to quote some Scripture. Sometimes we do this at meals. Kids want to talk about all kinds of random things. At some point, we cut it off. All right, tell me what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. And off we're quoting Scripture. There's really handy apps. If you have a smartphone, one app's called Fighter Verse or Fighter Verses, one or the other. And it works the same way. It's kind of these flashcards of Scripture on your phone. So when you have a spare moment, you can just pull this out. We enjoy using that. So you can help your children memorize the Scripture. A fourth way, you can remind your children that the Bible speaks to normal life. So when you see a rainbow, you don't just say, wow, that's cool. You remind your kids, see that rainbow? That's a symbol that God has given us. It tells us in the Scripture, this is a promise. Or when you're trying to shape some character into your children, you don't just say, be nice, be considerate. No, you start taking them to the Scripture and show them, I want you to live as God has told us to live. And you say, don't look out only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. You see, as you begin to memorize Scripture, it just flows out. Remind your children in everyday life of the Bible. All right, one more, number five. You can give quiet time of play to your children and let them see you read the Bible. So here's what this looks like. All right, kids, you're going to play Legos, you're going to read a book, you're going to sit here, you're going to be quiet. You're not going to talk to mom. You're going to sit here because mom needs to hear from God. I'm going to listen to God. Whatever you have to say, it's not as important as what God is about to say to mom. So you guys sit over here, and I'm going to hear the words of God. If that happens day after day after day, it has a profound effect on children. They see it matters when you get to hear from the Word of God. A woman who gives herself diligently to be like Lois and Eunice is a woman who fears the Lord. She is a woman who passes on the wisdom of God. And a woman like that should be praised. So women, let me give you an encouragement. I'm stealing it from the Bible. These are the words of Paul from Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Mothers, you're doing a good work. Don't grow weary in that good, good work. Don't give up. There is a harvest. There is a reward for your labor. Keep leading your children to the truth. And for the rest of us, join me in thanking God for mothers. Thank your mother today. Praise that which is praiseworthy in her. Thank God for what he has done and is doing in mom. Point out the grace of God at work in her. Will you pray with me? Oh, great God, you have poured so many blessings upon us. God, we praise you, for you are the one who is most worthy of praise. And God, we thank you that we have so many reasons to thank you again and again and again. Our list of thank you just goes on and on and on. And our mothers, we have much to be thankful for. God, help us to honor them today in a way that honors you. God, I pray for moms who are tired, moms who maybe feel like what they're doing isn't that important. I ask that you would give them encouragement and help them to remember that, no, the work they have is a good work. It's a great responsibility. They literally can fulfill the great command or the great commission in their house. They can be making disciples in their home. What an incredible privilege. To you, we say all the glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.